Training Camp 2016 continues just outside of Everbank Field, and we're live from the fourth training camp practice. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Under the lights tonight outside of Everbank Field. Here's what's coming up tonight. Camp under the lights, as we said. Practice number four, the team will have Monday off, and then team periods and one-on-ones. We'll show those here live on Jaguars.com. And, John, this is a little different scene tonight with the lights on and I think the biggest crowd of camp so far.
Yeah, I think it's the first time, I believe, since 2011 when Jack Del Rio was here that they've gone at night. They may have gone with Malarkey, never gone under Gus and Dave. It's nicer out here, isn't it?
It is, much nicer.
I'm not sweating, you know, like a whatever. So it's an enjoyable night.
That was the idea for this as well, for this Jaguars team that's been in the heat the last couple of days, to get a chance to cool down a little bit under the lights and a little extra time to recover from yesterday's practice.
So we should say, JP, it looks like there's some lightning on the outskirts. Don't know if you'll see a mass evacuation here or not. It remains to be seen, right?
So well see. If so, we're out here too.
People better get out of my way. That's all I can say.
We're showing a team run period, 15 plays here on Jaguars.com. Glad you're with us tonight. TJ Yeldon is back on the practice field today.
That's first notable. Time since Thursday. Yep. Had an ankle, but I guess he's been itching to get in back to practice the last couple of days. And a good run there by TJ up the middle. And, Blake Bortles talked, I believe, last Monday when he was talking about the importance of the run game for this team, JP. And I don't know how much you're going to see and be able to gauge based on what they do tonight and how good they're going to be. But there is a feeling that with TJ and with Chris Ivory, with Brandon Linder at center, that they're going to be a better run offense and that will allow them to be more efficient than they were last year. They've got to be, because they can't just be a throw it up to Allen Robinson. They can't just be a pass-oriented offense this year. So
this is Ivory behind Beecham at left tackle.
And you really won't see the best of Chris Ivory until hitting's real, because he's very much a behind-the-shoulder pads runner. You're going to see a little bit of what he's like, but what he is if the run is supposed to get 3 yards, he can muscle through for 4 or 5. That's where you're going to see him. Instead of 2nd and 7, it's 2nd and 5 when he runs the ball. So that's where you're going to see his effectiveness.
They're scheduled to have 5 reps with the first team, 5 with the second team, and then 5 with the threes as well.
And they're rotating. It's been consistent. When this team has said over the years that they're going to rotate at a position during camp, they stick to it. Luke's now in there with what appears to be the second team line tonight. So they do try to get these guys ready. And, with Wisniewski and with Luke Buenco last year, they did the same thing. Very even competition, even reps until they actually decided it. So it appears they're doing the same thing with Jokel and Beecham.
There was a penalty flag there, and then Bortles would have been sacked by Yannick Ngakoue on the play. It was an incomplete pass after the fact. All sorts of issues there on the third snap for the first team.
Yeah, and Yannick has been a story. He had an excellent practice on Thursday, a lot of impact plays in a non-padded situation. Any doubt that existed early about his ability to rush the passer, if there was any, seems to be going away. The concern now, can he hold up against the run? But they think he's going to be effective against the passer from pretty early on. Now Luke Jokel back in it with the starters at left tackle there.
Mackenzie Bernardo is getting some left guard reps with the ones. That was Chris Ivory with a nice cut through the middle.
And Mackenzie struggled a little bit so far. So if he's going to be part of this rotation, he needs to play better.
He has plenty of experience in the league and starting experience in the league.
Yeah, I think he's realistically looking for a spot as a reserve on this team. I said often, I think Luke Jokel and or Kelvin Beecham are starting left guard, left tackle in some capacity.
They shift the tight ends over to the right side. Jokel's still in at left tackle. Play fake. Bortles looking deep. Lets it fly. He's got a man. It's caught. That was a little bit of a broken play on the back end, it looked like.
And again, it looks, I'm not tracking the reps, but it looks like Jokel's playing with the first team pretty much every play at one of those spots, whereas Beecham looks like he's playing maybe every few plays. not surprising. You still have to be smart with Kelvin Beecham's knee. There's no hurry on this. He didn't participate in the one-on-one pass rush the other day because that's very much you have to plant, you have to be stable, a live contact situation. So, again, trying to be smart with him.
Second team in now. Chad Henne hands off to Denard Robinson around the left side. Big camp for Denard. We've talked about it the last few days. You know, he's a guy that he's on the bubble to make this team.
Yeah, he's gone from a guy that we talked about as maybe possibly a starter 2 years ago when he did start quite a bit. And he started 9 or 10 games, maybe 7 or 8. Looked good at times. Pretty much was obvious that he wasn't going to be an every down number one back. And now I think it's a matter of who wins the kick return job between he and Corey Grant, who makes the roster as the fourth back.
This is Jonas Gray in the backfield now. He's had a pretty good couple of days here in camp. Play fake from Henne, rolls right. That's a one-handed catch on the sideline.
Looks like you out there, JP.
That's Bowman, the undrafted rookie out of South Alabama.
I meant the missed block. I didn't mean the one-handed catch. So, no, Bowman's looked good so far. In OTAs, he impressed. It's not a reach to think that he might make the team as 52nd, 53rd guy. It's going to be interesting to see how the tight end position shakes out on that front. A couple of notes, JP. Marquise Lee out for a third consecutive day. Roy Miller and Dante Fowler both have planned days off. And as we noted, T.J. Yeldon back in after a couple of days off. So a pretty normal expected news on that front. The interesting part of that is when does Marquise get back out there?
Yes, that is the big question. And
I wouldn't look for that in the first part of this week, maybe the end.
Joe Banyard down the backfield. Still the second team on offense and defense. Not much room up the middle.
Well, this is a run drill, but I know there's plenty of passing to talk about later in this show, but it seems like at the start of this camp, everybody's been talking about the newcomers. Allen Robinson, though, is a guy who, if there's sort of a hidden storyline that's good news for this team, it's how good this guy looks. And that's not surprising. He was a Pro Bowler last year, but he was probably a fringe Pro Bowler last year. He made it. He made it as an alternate. He's walking, playing, running routes like a guy who is clearly on his way to being an elite level one for a long, long time. I wasn't sure last year even if that was going to be the case for him. His crispness of routes during this camp, the size, the speed with which he plays, the off-season work that everybody knows he puts in clearly is paying off. To me, he looks so much more like a number one elite have-to-game-plan-for-him guy than he did this time last year. If he's developing into that, that's as big a storyline as there is into this camp. I think he is. He looks that way.
They've moved to the third team now. 10 plays in. This will be number 11 of a 15-play team run period. Red zone and tight red zone are next. We'll show that to you live. And also coming up, one-on-ones in the trenches. Tony Boselli will join us for live commentary of that battle.
And it's interesting. Jokel's working with the third team here at left guard. Now, that obviously doesn't mean he's the third team left guard. It means that even in this drill, he's taking left tackle reps, and then he's taking left guard reps, more reps than most of the offensive linemen. Talked to him the other day. He's aiming for the left tackle job. That's his goal. At the same time, he knows the importance of him transitioning if he's the left guard. So he appears to be getting a huge amount of work for early in camp for a guy who started left tackle. So that's something to watch as we go on in camp. And it looked like Bernardo snapped there. So, again, there's been an emphasis.
Nice catch over the middle.
Yeah, Brandon Allen to Allen Hurns. But an emphasis with the offensive line, as there was during OTAs, of getting a lot of guys a lot of reps at different spots. You need guys on the roster. You need two, really three guys who can snap, who can get the ball to the quarterback. Mackenzie Bernardo working at guard, indication he might be that guy. Tyler Shatley's in there right now. So that's three guys they're working with who can get the ball to the quarterback.
Max Wittick now taking snaps. Corey Grant cuts back through the middle, finds a little space.
He's fast, JP.
Speedster from Auburn.
That's a little analysis for me. Corey Grant's fast. And he started, people remember, he started to get to a point where there was a chance of making an impact last year, and then he got hurt after the Tampa Bay game. Had a big mistake against Tampa Bay. But the Denard Robinson, Corey Grant, again, I think that's the fourth running back competition in the kick returner competition. And that'll play out in preseason. I'm not sure who to give the edge to on that yet.
A little early for that. You got to get in some real games to see much of the
But Corey Grant's speed's real, and Denard has had 3 years to sort of separate that. So, you know, maybe edge to Corey Grant. Ask me tomorrow, I might say different.
Final couple of minutes of the team run period with a few passes mixed in. They blew that one dead before he let it go, officially. We'll get a good look at the red zone coming up.
Now
Allen
Robinson,
punch it in at the end.
A huge day in the red zone yesterday against Jalen Ramsey. People sort of saw that.
Yeah.
Went viral a little bit. I actually got some emails from people, JP, concerned about Jalen Ramsey from that.
Really?
And I think the important thing to remember is a Pro Bowl third-year receiver is supposed to win against rookie cornerback. And he's supposed to have some plays where he makes the rookie cornerback look bad.
Especially on the third day of camp.
Well, yeah, third day of camp. And guess what? Later on in camp, too, and during the regular season, you want Allen Robinson to be winning that battle. Jalen Ramsey's going to be fine, but Allen Robinson is a big-time NFL receiver. Jalen Ramsey's not going to know all of his tricks yet.
So they've moved to red zone and tight red zone. They'll have a handful of snaps at the 20 and then at the 2-yard line. Five reps with the ones, five with the two, or four with the twos, and then three reps with the threes. We will show you what we can here on Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us. JP Shadrick, John Osier coming up. One-on-ones on the offensive and defensive line, and Tony Boselli will join us for commentary there.
Yeah, and that was good stuff yesterday. You saw Malik Jackson showed why he was signed for the money that he was signed for. He won with not only quickness, he won with strength. Looks like he's going to provide penetration from the middle. Dante Fowler beat Jeremy Parnell around the edge for a couple of sacks.
Back of
a
the
near
end zone
interception
incomplete.
There for Ciprin. But it's important to remember in those drills, in the one-on-one drills, it's really geared up to help the defense excel. And the defense excelled yesterday. It was a good day for the defense.
This is Julius Thomas territory too, by the way. He's lined up on the left side. They'll throw right instead, complete out of bounds in front of House.
And it looked like you saw Beecham at left tackle and Jokel at left guard there. Now Beecham comes out and Jokel stays in. So again, Jokel getting a lot of reps, continue to be sparked with Beecham. What's interesting, JP, is sort of when that becomes them playing the same amount of reps. Later on in practice, you need Beecham at some point, obviously, to be taking the same amount of reps to show that he can hold up. Because Jokel's back out of left tackle after being a left guard in the last play.
Bortles working from the gun. Caught, but hit in a hurry. Looks like Telvin Smith was there.
And one thing that we haven't discussed a whole lot, either in print or on the air, to my knowledge, Blake Bortles, I wouldn't say he's having a monster camp. You're not sitting there walking out of practice going, wow, see how great Blake was today. But you know what you're not saying is you're not saying, see how bad Blake was today. In his first few training camps, or his first two, he sort of admitted, not a great practice player,
That's right.
Some inconsistency, some balls hitting the ground. To me, he looks significantly more accurate, more confident, knowing where to go with the ball out of his hand early after the snap.
Bortles with a keeper here and then tossed it back, lost the ball. It turned into a turnover.
That was odd. But
it's probably not ideal, in fact.
But he looks all offseason, I've said one of the keys is, can this offense be more efficient, better on third and four and second and six and things like that? He looks like he's seeing it, doing those what are supposed to be easier quarterback things than he did last year. He's a big play guy last year. He looks like he's doing more of those things in practice than he was. If that's translating, that bodes well for this team because they need to be more consistent. He looks better in the short, quote-unquote, easy passing game than he did this time last year. Just looks like a more experienced NFL quarterback to me, JP.
Spreads him out here. Now Bortles throwing left. Incomplete. Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
11th year for the tight end.
But in fairness to Mercedes, first 3 days of camp, he had a big play every day. He has had the big play that you won out of that spot the first 3 days. That was a drop. So three out of four ain't bad.
Everybody has some drops this time of year. That's the way it works. We've seen pretty much everybody have an occasional hiccup. This is the second team now. Chad Henning in at quarterback. Fade, corner, caught that one for a touchdown. Looks like Koyak.
Yes. And that was a nice pass by Chad. And again, a lot of questions the offseason. Would they get rid of Chad Henne as the backup quarterback, go with Brandon Allen? The answer to that is no. Chad Henne's the backup this year. I don't know what happens in 2017, but Chad Henne's here for a reason. He's the best backup quarterback in this team.
Nice ball there for a score. Hands it off. And found a little room there for Jonas Gray.
Yeah, and nothing's written in stone yet. I'd be surprised if Jonas Gray is not the third running back on this team. It appears that he's the guy they want as the third running back. He's the guy who can go in if you don't have the first two, and he can carry the load on first and second down.
A live look at red zone drills here on Jaguars.com. The second team working now. Coming up some tight red zone. And then 7-on-7 work on one side of the field. We'll show one-on-ones on the offensive and defensive line instead. Henning incomplete.
And he went to Neil Sterling there, I believe, if I'm seeing it right. Interesting here, JP, a couple of times, definitely that play. I thought I saw it earlier. Alan Hearns working in the slot with the second and third team. Now, he's obviously your starting outside receiver, but there's a good chance that when Marquise Lee's healthy, Marquise plays outside. Alan Hearns could play some slot this year, so he's getting some work at that spot tonight. He's done it a couple of times through camp. He's a good option in there if Rashad Greene is not playing the slot. Alan Hearns should play some slot this year.
Any on a little slant caught down close to the goal line.
And that's, of course, the best slot option, which is Rashad Greene. He's the guy, I believe you're going to see Rashad Greene in the slot on a lot of crucial third down, have to convert or get off the field situations. I think Hearns is probably the slot guy when Marquise is playing early downs. But Rashad Greene's the guy that he's that true slot that they like his reliability. They would like to see him develop into the guy who's Mr. Reliable on third downs.
So they've just made an announcement that the public portion of practice is closing. The weather, the bad weather, is coming quickly. We will stay with you as long as we can here on Jaguars.com while the fans make their way to the exits.
Wow.
Some lightning relatively close now off to the west.
Might be doing some Weather Channel spots here. I think what?
So we will wrap up our coverage here as well with the storm approaching, the fans leaving, the team winding down as well. That'll do it for our coverage for now.
We will
have some more coverage next week. The players are off tomorrow, but then back at it on Tuesday. So check out Jaguars.com throughout the week for more training camp coverage. We'll look for your writing a little later tonight.
It'll be there. It'll be truncated, much like the practice. So that's it for tonight.
For John Osier, J.P. Shadrick, thanks for watching Jaguars.com Live.